we can have the lights on as we come in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us this privilege of being part of your mission all over the world. And we thank you for Wilson Chapel and their mission-mindedness. We pray that from this community, great things will happen in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. We thank you, we praise you, we ask for open hearts as we look into your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can I ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17, and I'm going to be reading the whole chapter of John chapter 17, 26 verses, and I'm reading from the New Authorized Version. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known all things that you have given me are from you." Verse 8, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that you also, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. May the Lord bless this wonderful prayer. Let me just start with three or four observations. This is the true Lord's Prayer. The one in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, that is not the Lord's Prayer. That is the disciples' prayer. The prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11 says, forgive us our trespasses or our sins. Well, surely Jesus couldn't have prayed that prayer because he was absolutely sinless. And so this is the real Lord's Prayer. It is the longest prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been called, this chapter has been called the Mount Everest of Scripture. It will take us a lifetime to understand the depths and the breadth and all that is contained in this prayer. It only took 6 to 7 minutes to read it, but it is full of depth and meaning. And so it is. It is not the length of your prayer. It is the weight of your prayer. And sometimes just a thought, a groaning in our heart. God hears that and he knows what we are praying about. Thirdly, we can divide the prayer into three divisions. Verses 1 to 5, Jesus prays for himself. Verses 6 to 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. Verses 20 to 26, Jesus prays for all disciples, all future followers of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That you are covered in this prayer. That people who are not even saved now are covered in this prayer, because one day they will be saved and this prayer covers them as well. Someone said this is the widest prayer ever, because it started 2,000 years ago and it is still ongoing and it will only finish at the end of time. And Jesus praying for us. How amazing is that? In his ministry now, he continues praying for us, because we hear in Hebrews 7:25, it says he is able to save completely those who come to God because he always lives to intercede for them. The high priestly prayer here in John 17 continues, and Jesus is praying for you by name and for that particular need you are going through. And so I want to look this morning very quickly at why this is the greatest prayer ever prayed, this side of glory. Number one, it's because of the person who prayed it. Number two, it's because of the reason he prayed it. Number three, the content of the prayer. These three things make it the greatest prayer ever prayed. Number one, the person who prayed it. The person who prays this prayer is none other than Jesus Christ. In John 1:1, he's introduced as the one who is in the beginning with God. In John 1:1, we also hear he is God. In John 1:3, we hear he is the creator of all things. In John 1:14, we hear that he became flesh. In John 1:14, we also hear he is the Word. He is the Lamb of God, verse 29. He is the Son of God, 34. He is the Bread of Life, chapter 6, 35. He is the Light of the World, John 8, 12. He is God. Isn't that amazing that God is praying in this prayer? It's a mystery to me. If this is God, why is he praying? You see, dear friends, Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. But when he came into this world, he showed us that he could not operate independently of the Father. And if the Son of God is in prayer like this, how much more should we be interceding in prayer to our Heavenly Father? How much more should we be in prayer as we see the Son of God, the co-creator of the world, the God of the universe, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life, praying and interceding? And so the person who prayed makes this prayer the greatest prayer. Secondly, the reason he prayed. It starts in 17:1 when he says, "Father, the hour has come." The hour has come. And it's talking about an appointment. And as it were, Jesus came into this world. We'll be celebrating his coming very soon at Christmas time. But he came for the moment that he's going to experience. Now, this is just a very short time before his betrayal. Betrayal is breathing down his neck. The cross is breathing down his neck. And this is the prayer he is praying. Isn't that amazing? He's not saying, "Oh Lord, keep me safe. Oh Lord, you know, send your angels. Protect me." He's saying, "Father, the hour is come. This is the moment that I came into this world for." He came for the cross. He came to die. He came to fulfill the plan of God. And he is very conscious of it. He says, "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Again, the interdependence between Father and Son. Jesus is saying, "I can't do anything without the Father." And we see that he says, "Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you." We always think of glory as great things. Glory as being famous, having money, having big churches, glory as in having lots of likes on your Facebook, many followers. But here, Jesus is talking about glory as the death that he is going to experience on the cross. "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." So Christ's work on the cross is more glorious and greater than all his creation. The sun, the moon, the planets, they're all glorious, the stars. But as far as Christ is concerned, the most glorious is his work on the cross. Why? And we find that in verse 3. And this is eternal life. Please read this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Did you notice that Jesus names himself in this prayer? First time. You never see this again. Jesus names himself in this prayer, that there is only one God, and this one God has sent Jesus as his representative, as the Son. And that if the world is to know God, it is going to be through Jesus. And it is Jesus who gives eternal life, both as a quality of life, the life of God in us. That's what eternal life is. Can you imagine? The life of God in us. And the eternal, the quantity, the ongoing nature of life. And so this is the greatest prayer, because Jesus is praying it, and because he prayed for the eternal life, the blessing of eternal life will be given to the entire world, those who come to him. The content of the prayer also makes this a very important prayer. And the content of the prayer is basically summarized in one word. It is the mission of God. The content of this prayer is that the mission of God will continue. Even though Jesus is going to ascend to heaven, that the mission of God will continue. Now, can I ask you to look at verse 6? For I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of this world. They were not yours. You gave them to me. You, me, yours, me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. It's about 9 times when mine and yours appear. Do you know what's happening here? God gave Jesus to the world as the gift. Jesus is the gift of God to the world, John 3:16. Those who become followers of Christ are now given to the Father by the Son as a gift. So you become a Christian, you are wrapped up in the blood of Christ as a present, and now you are offered to God by Jesus as a gift. And this is an amazing extravaganza of gift giving and the interchange of gifts between Father and Son. Dear friend, do you know what that means? You know the implication of that? That we are so precious when we come to Christ, there is no room for anyone to feel small or to feel insignificant or to have a low self-esteem if you're a believer. Because as far as God is concerned, we are gifts exchanged between Father and Son. And next to the Trinity, it is the blood-bought children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next to the Trinity, it's not angels, it's not heavenly creatures, it's us. All of heaven is waiting to share God's legacy, God's priceless legacy for us. And so the mission of God involves us. Involves us. And Jesus goes on to verse 18 and he says, as you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. So we are sent. You say, but I'm not in any mission organization. No, Jesus says you're sent. You say, well, I haven't been to Bible college. Well, you're sent. You say, well, I'm a tradie, I'm a teacher, I'm a, you know, a real estate person. No, you're sent. You are sent. As far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, every believer is sent into your respective workplace, your respective community. And we need to see ourselves as sent ones. The mission of God is continuing through us. There's a church in Canada that has a sign as people are driving out of the car park, the church car park. The sign says, thank you for attending church. You are now entering the mission field. The moment you get out of the car park, you are entering the mission field. Not when you take a plane and land in China. That also happens if God calls you. But the moment you leave this church, the mission field meets you. And finally, the content, there's this gift giving between Father and Son, and then Jesus is sending us just as the Father sent him. He's now sending us. Finally, the mission of God is not complete until all have a chance to hear him. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. And you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So, the salvation of people is the most important thing as far as Jesus is concerned. And the suggestion here is that the glory of God, the glory of Christ, is in waiting. You know, God's glory is in waiting. Jesus' glory is he is glorious. We can't add to that glory. We can't take away from that glory. But it is in waiting until all those who are who turn to the Lord, all those who haven't heard him, can hear him and turn to him. And then the glory of Christ will be ever so splendid. The mission of God. When Jesus says, glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you, Jesus is saying, I'm willing to put my glory on hold until all people have a chance to hear and respond. Because my glory is dependent in a way on the people coming to Christ. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. And so, folks, the greatest prayer ever prayed, because of the one who prays it, Jesus Christ, because the reason he prays it is for eternal life, to benefit the people of the world. It's because the mission of God is still going on, and it will continue until all who hear Christ can come to him and receive eternal life, and then the glory of Christ will be consummated and come to its fullness. I was in a village in Nepal, about 15 years ago, when we first started our mission there, they took me to an area and they said, this is the end of the line. There are no more churches that we know of beyond this territory. And it was sad. I looked up at that region, mountainous region, and uttered a prayer for those people who were strangers to Jesus Christ. And then there was this smoke and smell, and I asked them, and so we were leaving, what is this smoke? And it's a terrible smell. And they looked at me with sadness and they said, this group practices child sacrifice. And you are smelling the human flesh. Because of the harvest, they want a better harvest. And so they're sacrificing their girls for a better harvest. Dear folks, no wonder the Lord Jesus prayed this prayer with betrayal coming up with a cross. He was praying that the mission of God would continue through his disciples, through future generations of people who will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let us come to the Lord in prayer as God has spoken to us. Let us just pause for a moment as God has spoken through his word this wonderful prayer, this greatest prayer that we will ever hear, this side of glory, prayed by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, prayed because of eternal life that is on offer to the entire world. But the message has to get to people in time. The message has to get to people through messengers, through prayer warriors, and through the Word of God. We are sent. We are sent. Take a moment, folks, to think about that. All the dimensions of sentness, what does that mean? And how we can continue the mission of God, the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for challenging us this morning, for encouraging us this morning. We are so loved in the beloved Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we are gifts wrapped up in the blood of Christ and exchanged between Father and Son. Oh, Father, we pray that we will not just revel in the fact that we are precious gifts between Father and Son, but we will also get on with the mission that you have instructed us to be part of. That as you were sent, you now send us into this world. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to share the word, to live the gospel, and to speak the gospel. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.